Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Yesterday morning, if you missed the episode, we began our journey into creating a wellness plan for 2025. And our guest on the line, who I'll bring up shortly, Tulika Kaza, was talking to us about how to create a wellness plan. And she writes on a status, she says that our biggest dilemma is that we leave to work instead of working that we may leave. Does such a balance even exist? And she says that this imbalance is further exacerbated by burnout experiences. And so this morning, we want to talk more about burnout and how to avoid it. I actually think sometimes we bring and invite burnout into our lives. But first things first, good morning to you, Tuli, and welcome to Mid Morning Empowerment.
Good morning. Good morning to you and to your listeners as well. Happy to be back.
Thank you very much, Tuli. Now, before we get into our discussion for this morning, are you ready for the year 2025?
Yes, I'm somewhere between ready and going to still get ready.
Okay. If there's anything called ready.
Yay, Sana. Ready, but I need to get ready, yeah. It's not make sure, ne?
Well, I guess when you've got a plan, you don't have resolutions, okay?
Yes, true. I believe in goals.
Yeah.
I'm so poopy.
No.
I don't do no more. I set goals. and I strive to try and accomplish or achieve them, but it's also like I mentioned yesterday, if you had three and you achieve one, it's still progress. You've moved from where you were before.
Now, talking about that, Tuli, let's quickly recap yesterday what we spoke about. You said a wellness plan has got eight pillars. Can you quickly take us through those eight pillars?
All right. So the eight dimensions to holistic wellness.
Yeah.
Is inclusive of your occupational aspect, because we're talking burnout today.
Yeah.
So it's the occupational side, that sense of purpose and meaning in the work that you do. Mm-hmm. We have the spiritual side, which is the importance of having a belief system and something that you are believing in.
Mm-hmm.
It's also inclusive of the financial side, the management of your finances, the information, also knowing how to better manage your finances comes in handy there.
Mm-hmm.
We have the social side, which is the value and significance of having a sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
We have the physical side, which is, you know, the ability to be proactive in the things that we're doing in our day-to-day lives. We have also the emotional side, which speaks to mental and emotional health. We have the environment. I love what you said about the environment. Hallelujah and amen to the manner in which you spoke about it just a few minutes ago and prayed over such as well. So it's not only the physical environment in which we're in, but it's also the things that we allow within our spaces and the things that we allow ourselves to participate in. And I'm missing one element. What is that last one?
Okay, did you talk about finance?
Yes, I touched on finance, I touched on physical, emotional, mental, and
environmental.
It's the mental one. It's the intellectual.
Yeah.
It's the intellectual value. So this one speaks to having and forming values and opinions of your own.
Mm-hmm.
It is important to understand that while you come from some place and some form of a community, you must get to a point in your developmental stages of life where you determine for yourself what your values and your principles are.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you stand for, not only in your workplace, but also within your community, within your support networks, and even within your relationships? Have your own values and principles and understand that your values and your opinions do matter.
That's great. And also, you touched on this one, Tuli. You spoke about setting a goal per month maximum. You spoke about setting not more than two goals per month.
Agreed. Yes. Mm. So the significance of this, again, is about setting yourself something realistic and measurable.
Mm-hmm.
With these particular two goals, you set, it could be maybe, I touched on financial.
Mm-hmm.
It can also be maybe mental. Let's touch on the emotional and mental health one today. So those could be your two goals for the month of January. So in the month of January, what are you willing to do to show that you are investing in your own mental and emotional wellness? Is it taking more time alone, solo dates, meditation, more prayer? What does that look like for you? And also understanding the reason behind why. Are you setting that as a goal for yourself? You've realized you've cried too many tears and you don't want to cry as much anymore. You've realized you're giving too much of yourself and you're not really sure why you're lacking boundaries. And also maybe considering therapy. That's what the things of the world are for, right? Having someone else to talk to who has not only a professional experience, but also personal experiences that help influence in terms of how we go about supporting you as our clients. So also talking to a professional helps give you a different perspective to yourself that you may not have currently, because you are shadowed by, you know, everything that you're going through, everything you've endured and everything you've survived. So those could be the two, or you choose one along the way as well after you've completed them, because there are eight. If you're taking two in the fifth month, you stop, reflect. What have I done? What have I accomplished? And what has changed in my life? What have I experienced as a benefit because of my self-investment in me by taking on at least one of the eight, or two of the eight per month? If you're taking on one per month, then on the ninth month, that's when you stop and reflect. This would be around November. And in December, you rebuild.
That's powerful. That's powerful. And obviously, finally, we spoke about evaluation. It's important to check, take measure. Where are you going? Am I still on track? Am I achieving the why of the plan that I set out for myself?
So the significance of that evaluation is what you're doing in that, you know, reflective month, is to be able to check and track for yourself what progress has happened, what changes are visible. It, you know, as people who are creatures of habit, it is important for us to be able to find evidence of the things that are moving well. Because when you're going through adversity and you're going through challenges, they are all around you, but looking for the goodness requires effort. And that's why you take that moment to monitor and evaluate. What have I done? What have I invested? What is working? What isn't working? And what would I like to still change and work on?
Yeah, thanks for that, Truly. I've actually got notes of what you were saying yesterday, and I'm actually, writing my own plan. Now, let's talk about the burnout, but I want to talk quickly, Truly. There's this statement that says work-life balance. What comes first, work or life? Because I think that statement actually is wrong.
I agree. I fully agree. You know, part of the privilege of what my clients receive through the form of support that I provide them as a wellness and development consultant is I myself invest in personal development and growth professionally, primarily, and then also as an individual. So that means I go to therapy too. I don't sell stuff I don't use. but it also does mean that I have my own sense of community. It also does mean I have work to do to ensure that I keep and maintain my sense of community. It also then means that through the development that I do now for the benefit of my clients, I'm always open to learning and understanding better things. So I think it was about 4 months ago now, if not three or two, where I went for a developmental workshop by an occupational therapist who's done a series of research, national and international. And she was sharing how burnout, first of all, is nothing to do with the lives that we're living, but it has everything to do with the work environment. So let's just start there.
Okay.
This issue of burnout, we don't burn out in our homes. That's chronic stress. We burn out at work. And there's a system at which I want to go about this, but you know, when we talk about chronic stress, these are the things that we endure and we go through every day. This is why we have something called daily life stresses. And the purpose of going to therapy is to enable you and equip you with the tools to help you better manage your daily life stress. The stress is coming, but you can adapt and adjust and have a different way or a different approach to how you manage and navigate your stress levels. And that's what changes. When you know, that kind of a change in perspective and a reframing enables you to be able to better capacitate in order to navigate, right? But when it comes to workplace burnout or burnouts in workplaces, it's usually a result of poor systems.
Okay.
They either don't exist or they are dysfunctional. When they formed, they did not adapt.
Okay.
And part of running a business is being able to be agile, flexible, and volatile to the reality of circumstances.
Yeah.
For example, COVID forced all of us to change.
Yeah.
If that happened, what was it online, and I have quite a number of, virtual clients that I see because that's what has had to happen.
Yeah.
People have adapted. But when systems and occupational spaces fail to adapt, you frustrate the people on the ground.
Yeah.
If I'm feeling frustrated, I become overwhelmed because I feel like I'm not doing enough, which means I lose my sense of morale. I lose my momentum to keep going. I start getting stressed out because things are not turning around and you're expecting me to reach bottom line. But does the bottom line, are the things around me enabling me to reach the bottom line? Another big challenge in occupational spaces is that you've got one person doing the work and somewhere in between the chain, someone isn't.
Yay.
And nothing's being done about that.
There's always that one person.
There's always that one.
Yeah.
In the organization, there's always that many.
Yeah.
And what you'll find when you do research around business methodologies, especially for private companies and corporates, one of the things that is said is that you need to fire quickly.
Ah, okay.
Right? Which is quite different, right? We don't believe in that in South Africa.
Okay.
And I myself also kind of understand why not to just immediately do that. But the intent behind that from the lady who was saying it is that when you continue to allow that person who's not doing their role well, you are disadvantaging the entire system and you are going to lose valuable employees because you refuse to adapt and change and address the problem.
Okay.
Now, in an HR perspective, from an employee assistance and wellness perspective, you cannot just fire. What have you done?
Right.
What did you do to help that person? Okay, sure. But what did you do to help Utuli? Manage her workload better? What have you done to help Utuli do her work better?
Yeah.
What systems have you put in place to monitor and evaluate Utuli to do the work better? So the biggest challenge is the failure to also monitor and evaluate in a timely fashion.
Right.
Instead, monitoring and evaluation often happens, especially again in big corporations, when it's time for billing.
Yeah.
It's like, we need to do invoices.
Yeah.
Now we must assess, did you do your job? You're not doing this. You're not doing that. We're late. You can't now complain 6 months later about something you could have addressed on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
So there are certain changes that managers need to make and also us as employees because we're also accountable for what we're not doing in the workplace.
Yes, I'm listening.
Now, I thought you might want to have a... I'm allowing you time
to
put a question there because I have a whole...
So you spoke about agility. You spoke about agility. And there's a statement that you said that actually hit home. Hello, Tuli?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Right.
You were breaking a bit there.
Okay, cool. So you spoke about agility and you spoke about that burnout generally has got nothing to do with the home, but it's got to do with the workplace. And you spoke about systems. So there are three things that I actually picked up. There are systems that fail to adapt with the changes. And most organizations are not that agile. And in my thinking, the question that I have is, is agility something that we have actually adapted to, or is something? Is it a foreign concept to us to say we're not constantly watching the environment and constantly watching the systems to say, are we moving with the times? Is agility something that we've been taught to think about not only at school but at home, in our social circles? Because I think agility is something for me. It sounds like a foreign concept. I hear what you're saying, but when I'm being honest with myself, it's something that really I've not really thought about within the spaces that I find myself in professionally.
So our biggest challenge again, so I'm an entrepreneur myself, right? So I understand I sit in a unique position where I understand what the bosses go through and the managers go through and their frustration.
Yeah.
But I also understand, as someone who sits as an employee in some organizations and has served as an employee in a series of other organizations, I also understand what the frustration looks like for someone on the ground when their needs are not met.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how I want to break it down. From the agility part, are we taught agility?
Mm-hmm.
In most homes, yes, by virtue of circumstances. I mean, you have not remained an infant.
Yeah.
You were not born talking, you learned to talk.
Yeah.
You were not born able to you know, feed yourself. You were taught how to do it the right way.
Okay.
Otherwise, yes, right? Mm-hmm. So we are raised to develop and cultivate and grow.
All right.
But somewhere along the line, when we're talking about an organization, it is both a living and a non-living thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is we become very familiar with a certain way of doing things. That's why you'll find when you new in an organization that's existed for a while and people who've been there a while,
mm-hmm.
that you'll hear things like, but we've always done it this way.
Exactly.
Okay, we don't dispute it, but is this way still working?
Mm.
This is where monitoring and evaluation comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you were doing your monthly, your quarterly, your annually monitoring and evaluations, you'd be picking up on whether are the outcomes still meeting the system that we currently hold?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we need to adapt and adjust?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it also depends on what is the business purpose.
Right.
If it's not about growth but sustainability, then they would be fine where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they grow a little or drop a little, it is insignificant.
Right.
But if you're all about growth and advancement and tapping into other spaces, then monitoring and evaluation is very important, because internal company and organizational research is what helps you grow.
Mm.
And if you did that research, you'd know about Utuli is struggling because something happened in the home. Maybe there's a lost loved one,
mm-hmm.
and now emotional capacity is hindering the ability to work. So maybe there should be two people doing that job that she's doing instead of one.
Mm.
And in making a slight shift, everything in the organization rebalances, right?
Yeah,
it's a much broader conversation, really, but that's just an example. So I've noted here, what can managers do, right?
Yeah, right?
In terms of their contribution, the first one being is to pay attention. I just gave an example of that.
Yeah.
You need to pay attention and you need to listen.
Okay.
You need to listen to, is the work being done translating, right? There's the organizational needs and then there's your employees' needs.
Mm-hmm.
And your organizational needs, yes, they can sit as priority, but what are you doing to help slightly contribute towards the employees' needs?
Mm-hmm.
Happy employees are productive employees.
Yeah.
Unhappy employees are very disruptive and destructive employees, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Another thing to do is to check in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you check in with your team?
Yeah.
So if you're sitting in the high position, it's going to be quite difficult to sit and talk to all 100 and what employees or 1,000 in some organizations employees you have in that company.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a team that is accountable to be checking up on those employees. Are they doing their job? Because that's how you learn about the people in your company.
Mm-hmm.
That's why in some companies, no matter how big it is, the owner or the senior manager can know ubani utamsan.
Yeah.
They can know because the people under them are led well.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So check in. This can be bi-weekly, it can be monthly, it can be quarterly, it can be annually, it depends on how the organization functions and what its priorities are.
Mm.
Third thing to do is acknowledge and appreciate.
Okay.
Take that moment. You know, staff meetings are usually about what's not going right and what is a problem and what needs to be resolved. But what about also taking a moment to acknowledge what's going well?
Mm.
Whether at the beginning or the end of the meeting, how about starting with, by the way, I'd also like to thank the Department of Marketing for the work that they're doing. I'm seeing that there's a growth, a what percentage in growth in terms of people looking at our website and our webpage.
Mm.
I'd like to also thank the finance department. I'm noticing we're having less slip-ups now in terms of payroll. You know, little things like that that show a person that, I man, you see what I'm doing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So acknowledge and appreciate.
Mm.
This can be done through taking time off, like I mentioned, also in feedback in meetings. Thank you vouchers is also something else.
Ooh, nice. I like
that one. Lama thank you lunch can also work. But again, thanking me and inviting me to eat pizza, but not talking to me about why I'm getting this pizza becomes null and void.
Yeah.
So
okay.
It's about the meaningfulness at which you do the activity, but also we cannot continue to give pizzas, guys. At the end of the day, and if you can't give money, then give time. Because why am I working?
Why did you shut that down?
I'm not shutting it down. What I'm saying is it must work in conjunction towards money.
Yes. Okay. I hear you. Hey, money talks.
Look, I'll give you a whole other narrative on it. But the money talk is not something I'd really like to dwell on too much, because it's more of what happens in the HR perspective.
Yeah.
They're the ones you can sit with, and also the CFOs, to see what is feasible.
Yeah.
It's not also about overextending. It's like, hey, Uthuli, we're wellness. We need to give people money. Now you're just giving away money. Guys, that is not good business practice. Again, like I said, I'm also in business. Mm. So you sit with your HR, you sit with your CFO and whoever else is relevant, and you evaluate what is feasible to the team. Mm. If you can't give them in a large lump sum, Marayas, la 5,000, la 500 voucher or the 1.5 voucher can change people's lives.
Yeah.
You have no idea to be able to finish in order to buy a school uniform. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's looking at what is realistic and what's feasible. So time off, thank you vouchers, feedback lunches, and appreciative meetings. And the fourth one being around evaluate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look into all the systems that we have working.
Yeah.
Is what we're doing working? Clients is happy, but is the team that is serving the clients happy? And how can we make them happier?
Yeah.
Again, there's a saying that goes, people don't leave organizations, they leave managers.
But
right?
Twilly, I want to come in there. Because we're talking about burnout, and I'm understanding where we are going to with this one, and I'm getting a full sense of what we're. But in this all these things, and maybe you will be touching on it, what is my role? Because the systems are dependent on somebody else. But in it all, what is my role? What's my part in to make sure that at the end of the day, I also mitigate burnout in one way or the other?
Okay. So what do I do, na employee?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
One, I must be reliable and responsible. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing at the right time?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I sitting and gossiping with Utami about how horrible Umphathi wethu Dumisani is?
Yeah.
Am I reliable and responsible about the work that we do?
Yeah.
I'm also must be accountable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And accountability then speaks to, are you yourself happy with your work?
Yeah.
Before Udumisani comes and does his own evaluations, when you look at it and you say, submit a report, when are you happy with it?
Mm-hmm.
You are also accountable to yourself, right?
Right.
And then the third one is around professional boundaries. As far as boundaries, right? Because now we're friends, instead of addressing whatever needs to be addressed and take care of whatever needs to be taken care of, we move the narrative of, I mean, it's just one week, 3 weeks late.
Yeah.
So professional boundaries are important. And also remembering to not take on more than you can actually handle.
Okay.
Do not bite on more than you can chew.
Okay.
So again, other professional boundaries is still scope some settings. Am I meeting the bar as far as my scope before I take on additional responsibilities?
Right.
Because all that ones are irresponsibilities is got Tami to make Tami look bad, still makes me look bad because I'm also not doing my work.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And that makes you fireable, by the way.
Oh, okay.
And then also manage your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
This is the biggest hurdle, right? Managing our schedules.
Mm-hmm.
This is about time management and prioritizing our tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything is urgent. It doesn't matter how many times they say urgent. More often than not, their urgent is not as urgent as it needs to be.
Everything is
so
urgent.
So you need to figure out what is priority, right? Task, prioritize your activities for the day. For self, it is important to take lunch. We do not take lunch to our corporate organizations. Stop that thing. Stop that thing, guys, of not taking lunch. You will find, and also don't take your lunch at your desk. Movement in itself is therapy. And you would find, because you go out and enjoy lunch, you would also find you start to enjoy your colleagues and the environment better too. But if you are always at your desk doing this work all the time, you are going to miss out on the privilege of actually just taking a moment to breathe. And also, how you schedule is cut circle is very significant here. Because do you arrive at work just on time? And again, this is going to be person to person because circumstances and situations differ. But if you were to give yourself at least 30 minutes at the start of your day to do what you want, whether it's praying, meditating, take some time off, because in between the hour your lunch, there's usually also a tea time.
Yeah.
Do you take like 15 minutes or like 30 minutes at tea time? Depends on how your organization works. But that's something else to also consider.
Yeah.
So move, manage your time, manage your schedule well, speak up, be professional in your communication also. Effective communication is a skill, guys. And communicating with respect goes a long way. Shouting at your boss is not going to get you what you want. But communicating your needs might get you what you need.
Right?
So those are the kind of things that we're also responsible for. You must be reliable. You are accountable. You are not there to decorate. You don't earn to be a pot plant. You earn because you are providing something of value. And again, monitoring and evaluation. So Linda, a performance review to know what you've done. Take stock for yourself. What have I accomplished and I achieved this month? It's very important to be able to do that. What did I successfully achieve this month? And it will come in handy when it comes to your performance review.
Now, truly, as we wrap it up, there's something that I actually, I'm looking at the notes as you were talking and as I was writing the notes. We become familiar. And because we become familiar, we tend not to move with the times, which actually, or the situation, which actually means at some point we become complacent. And planning for your wellness means that avoid being complacent. Familiarity breeds complacency, they say. When I was listening to you, I realized that I think sometimes one might have just been guilty of the same thing, to say one has become familiar and complacent and doesn't want to move forward. You're comfortable with this one particular thing. Any last words on those things, Atuli?
My last words is sitting and complaining and doing gossip every day is only going to drain you emotionally because you are ruminating over the problem. But if you are instead to choose, like I mentioned, to take stock of what is going well, keep a small little jar, you know, almost like a sugar one that's colorless, can be plastic or glass, whatever you're comfortable with, and use colorful sticky notes where you input there things that you are grateful for and things that are working well for you. The purpose of doing it in a visible manner is so that you are able to trace it for yourself. It is important for us to be able to exercise a mentality and an intention of being grateful. And also, it's doing that that will also help you recognize, but hey, maybe I have reached the end of my capacity in this space. I am not growing anymore here. And perhaps it's time to move. But if you are not taking stock of the things that are working, then you won't know what you may need for your next move. So also setting attainable goals, push yourself, enroll for growth and development aspects also. Sometimes you are your own stumbling block because you are not willing to adapt and be agile, like we touched on earlier, right? And most significantly, remember to live. You must live in between all the work that you're doing. It is important to live. These things that you're looking to acquire exist so that you can enjoy them with your loved ones, with your family. Even for you, if it's just you, you don't have any kids or any family members may be remaining. It's okay to take time off. Rest. It is a way of setting.
Right, truly. Thank you very much. And I love how you've just ended it. Take rest. Leave. It should not make you guilty. Truly, you love sharing wellness nuggets. Where can people get in touch with you? Where can people follow you? Where can people get hold of you for your services?
All right. So I'm available on the WhatsApp line, WhatsApp business, 069-622-2902. That's 069-622-2902. I'm also available on email at tuliconsult@gmail.com. See, my living experience is calling me, if you can hear my toddler there in the background. tuliconsult@gmail.com. I'm accessible on Psychology Today. You're able to book and schedule yourself a wellness and a session there. You can also send me an email or reach out to me on the number I've shared via call or via WhatsApp. And on socials, I'm on Facebook, I'm on TikTok. Instagram, let's not make sure, but it's a copy and paste from Facebook. But you can hear a lot of my nuggets on the Facebook platform and on TikTok. I like to share them there because I really do believe the more well we are, the better we are at living our lives. And when we are well, everybody else around us benefits from that. So it's also about healing society and healing the community by taking care of you. Thank you so much.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Thuli Ikhakhaza, a wellness and development consultant. And thank you very much, Thuli, for coming through to the Mid-Morning Empowerment right here on the Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. Well, what a very powerful conversation right there. I quite enjoyed it. I took a full page of notes because I'm thinking to myself, really, I need to implement some wellness plan for myself. I wonder, what did you pick up from there? And that begs the question that I had at the beginning of the show, to say, what are your plans for 2025? What do you intend to do? And how do you intend to achieve it? What is it that you want to do differently in 2025? What's your plan? What's your plan? Is there an area where you're saying to yourself, man, I've been complacent. I need to improve. I need to improve in this area.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.